Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. In the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam are great lessons. The important thing in these stories is to reflect over the story and understand what's the message, and then bring that lesson into the life. So we look at some part of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now it's a time when the king sees a dream for 3 or 4 consecutive days. Seven fat cows and being eaten by 7 lean. So if it was just one day, you could have just ignored it. But if it's going on, then you begin to think that there's a lesson, there's a message here. So if you don't understand something, then find out. The king also applies the same rule. I don't understand. Let me consult with my advisors. So that's the first lesson. You don't understand. Rather than taking a chance, find out. Find out from whom, someone you feel is knowledgeable, understanding. He can give you a direction, so you find out from them. Now when they are being consulted, they say, ما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين. We don't understand. So the person that doesn't know it, he must say, I don't know it. Whether it's a small thing, whether it's a big thing, you know it, very good. And you don't know it, I don't know it, finish. No responsibility, no answerability. I knew it, I guided you, I don't know it, so I tell you as I see it. Someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the best spot on the face of the earth? I don't know. Being the head of all the Anbiya and the Malaika, the best creation of Allah Ta'ala in the entire universe, and for him to say, I don't know, isn't that a lesson for us? Rather than taking a chance, rather than applying our minds, trying to work it out. I don't know it. So I'm not answerable, I'm not responsible. إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالَ. Person that doesn't know what is the solution for him, the solution is find out. مَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. So Rasulullah asks the Jibreel alayhi salam, what is the best spot? I don't know. Spontaneous answer from Bishtasham, spontaneous answer from Jibreel al-Islam. I don't know it. So, deen is not something to speculate and not to hop from one person to the next person. Deen is to try and work out what is exactly the message of Allah. Because I'm going to be answerable to Allah Ta'ala. Right? So now if I'm doubting about the person, and in spite of me having reservations and doubts, and I go and ask him, and he misguides me, so both the questioner, the petitioner, and the petition, both are sinful. Because you had reservations, that person wasn't learned, and in spite of your reservations, you went and found out, and he doesn't have the proper knowledge, he answered you, both are sinful. ضَلَّ وَأَضَلْ. So he's misled, he's mistaken, and he's misleading others as well. So anyway, one of the attendants of the king, he heard the entire discussion, and he says, أَنَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ. I will let you know. Let's say if you know someone that understands, you're confident of the person, So you can help out in a situation, then help out. So he says, I will tell you. He goes to Yusuf alayhi salam and relates the entire dream. That's what happened. Because he had already had an experience with Yusuf alayhi salam. When he saw a dream that he's squeezing wine, squeezing grapes for the king. The meaning was explained to him that you will be the attendant of the king. And the other person told him, well, you're going to be crucified. So it happened exactly like Yusuf alayhi salam had mentioned. One person was crucified and the other person was posted to be the attendant of the king. So now he saw Yusuf alayhi salam, saw the colors, he saw the beauty in him, and he saw the truth and the honesty in him. So what helps a person is the honesty, the goodness in the person. So أَصْدَقُهُمْ رُؤْيَا, the one whose dreams are most correct is the one that is most honest, is most truthful. So his dreams also will be right. So he presents the whole case to Yusuf alayhi salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam, without any hesitation, explains the exact meaning of the dream. He would have said, without any proper reason, I was made to languish in prison for 7 years. No fault of mine, no guilt of mine, no sin of mine. And you people had the audacity to throw me into jail for 7 long years. Now, when you are in a pressing need, in desperation, now you're referring to me. And you could have brushed it off and chased them away. But he says, no, that's a different thing altogether. And here it's a different thing altogether. Here, an individual or people need my assistance. So I mustn't become so selfish, self-centered, that if they couldn't see me right, why should I see them right? It's an individual against an individual, or it's an individual against a whole nation, whole Egypt. So he's not worried about himself and not worried about the 7 long years that he languished in prison. He's looking at the broader interest of the entire country. The broader interest is to explain them what is exactly the meaning. See, the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, it opens our minds, our horizons of thought, horizons of understanding opens out. So he could have used his attitudes. You people, without any reason, you got no justice in you, and you just threw me out, threw me into prison. You got no sense of justice. You could have used that card, explain to them. And not only did he explain the meaning, but he also showed them, alright, then what are you supposed to be doing? وَمَا حَسَدْتُمْ فَذَرُوهُ فِي سُنْبُلِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِمَّا تَأْكُلُونَ. So you're going to have a good run for 7 years. 7 years, climatic conditions, rains are going to be very good. But don't eat up all the grains. Eat what you need and the rest preserve it. Leave it in the ear, let it carry on. So he predicted and he showed what's going to happen, and he showed what is going to be the future plan for the preservation and for the community to sustain itself. So if he didn't show them the plan, then could they have sustained themselves? So see how beautiful that Nabi is. He's beautiful in his appearance, but he's beautiful in his ways and mannerisms as well. You may find a person beautiful in appearance, but is he beautiful in his ways, in his mannerisms, in his values? Very seldom you find that. Looks nice. My experience is, the person looks nice, 9 out of 10 his voice is not too good, putting for azan or namaz. So you may misjudge the person. He looks very nice, he'll be good in azan, or he may be good in qirat. It doesn't work like that. So it would seem like Allah's favors are distributed. So if you are looking well, then your voice is not too good, or if you are not looking well, then your voice is very good. Or if you have one favor, like you can administer, you can run things, right? Then you may have some health problem. So it's a balance, right? He doesn't have that wealth, but he doesn't have health complications. But we see how Allah Ta'ala balances it all. Very seldom you'll find he has got everything. Got wealth, deen, very strong, and he's got such a comfortable life, very seldom you find everything. You have one thing, and you are short of the other thing. So Allah Ta'ala creates this balance, perhaps, that no person must feel overconfident of himself. But I also need someone. I need your favors, Allah Ta'ala, the smallest favors to the biggest favors, and everything. Look at it, sometimes something gets between your teeth, right, and you can't pull it out. And you're suffering in pain. Are you such a wealthy person, such a powerful person, you're a doctor, physician, specialist, small thing went inside, and it's so troublesome until you have to go humble yourself, go to a dentist, pull the thing out, and you're relieved. But doesn't it happen? So Allah Ta'ala teaches us the lesson of humility. Don't be proud. Don't think too much of yourself. So anyway, so Yusuf al-Islam shows the plan, and he's not spiteful, he's not self-centered, he's looking at the broader interests of the entire state. Now, the king is very impressed. Amen. He showed us the meaning, and he also offered the plan, how we must work ourselves throughout this period of drought. What should we be doing? Otherwise, the whole Egypt would have died here. We could have used up all the grains, thinking, oh, we're getting too much of grains, used everything up, left nothing in the silos, and that whole, everything would have been eaten up, or people would have died. So now the king was very impressed, and he called for Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf alayhi salam's response is, irji' ila rabbik fas'alhu ma balu nismati allati qatta'na aydihum. Go and go and make an inquiry about myself. See those women that cut off the hands. But now, you know, everything of a Nabi is too beautiful. He is beautiful, and everything in the Nabi is too beautiful. So he would have said, go and find out that woman who tried to seduce me and made false allegations against me. Now that's one way. But the other way, to just give it a glossy front, you know, when a person is wrong, but don't push him right beneath the earth. Don't sash him down. Right? You can find out of those women who cut off their hands. So he just alluded, alright, now they know they must make must make a total inquiry. But you see now, when you want to make an inquiry about yourself, find out something, right? There's different approaches. One approach is we just disgrace the person, drag his respect in the street, do things that are miserable, right? And the other is, alright, he did something wrong, and we need to clear this up, but let us do it with some level of dignity, you know, dignified way. So that's the way of a Nabi. Do it, but do it with dignity. So how should we do this whole thing with dignity? Obviously, when a person is being falsely accused, he'll feel miserable. He won't feel nice. That they drag my name, what they have done to me, I'm a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what they have done to me. He will feel miserable. But even then, he says, alright, but how should I carry out this entire case with some level of dignity? How must I do it? Go and find out those women who cut off their hands. Find out from them. What is the whole story all about? But you see how a Nabi is conducting himself. That's why the Quran is saying, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. A lot of lessons, day to day, our socializing, our living, and there are lessons to be learned. Now, when it comes to this point, make an inquiry, right? So the inquiry is made. So, when it is a chosen and a selected servant of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala himself comes to the person's rescue. From the very beginning, Allah Ta'ala comes to his rescue. In the very beginning. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرْرَآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّ كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ الْفَحْشَاءِ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. So see this last verse, إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. He was amongst our selected servants. And Shaitan already announced that إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. I will sway them off, but throw them off the course, I won't have any control over your selected servants. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. I'll be able to throw people off the course, but not your selected servants. So now, the entire the life of this world would require that how do we become the selected servant of Allah Ta'ala. See, this is how this verse goes. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. La uhyannahum ajma'in. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. So the moment we set foot in this world, till the day we leave, then we are in a competition, right? We are in a trial. And the trial is about who gets to the winning post successfully and goes well. That's the whole trial all about, right? And sometimes we think that the trial is about who can amass the most. That's how we think, right? Tourism. So people will feel that I can amass the most, or I have a good name. There are two things that people go after in this day and time, right? I can get the best deal, and I can have a good name, publicity, and wealth, comfort. So that's not the whole game. That's not the whole gauge. The gauge of Allah Ta'ala is illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. How do we become the selected servant of Allah Ta'ala? There's a way, there's a procedure. So, when Allah Ta'ala wants you to get to the winning post, then He wants you to get there, but get there in good time. Win the whole thing. So how do you win? So then Allah Pak has created opportunities. Sometimes, there's an opportunity every day, once in the day. Like, Zuhar Namaz, Fajr Namaz, one opportunity in the day. Can you get a second opportunity? So that is to impress upon us, you're just getting one opportunity here, make the best of it. This thing will finish and no opportunity after that. Just one opportunity. Right. I was looking at the sharah of the Shaykh al-Tari. He says, and these opportunities will come in different ways. He's talking about Jummah and this ummah being favored with the Jummah in place of Saturday or Sunday, like the Jews and the Christians. So it's about your selection. Have you selected the right thing? So then he quotes the hadith. The Rasulullah had gone for Mi'raj, right? So he was offered a tray. One glass was milk, and the other was wine. So Rasulullah took the milk. So Jibreel Islam made him aware, it's good you did this. If you had taken that wine, laghawat ummatuk. If you had only preferred that wine, the ummat would have gone astray. And he also gave him the good news, asabta al-fitra. You have chosen the right course. The way of the Anbiya. Fitra can mean the way of the Anbiya, sunnah, correct way. So you have preferred the right way. So sometimes what you are doing can affect your children as well. Nabi, he made the right choice, and because of him making the right choice, then his ummah gets favored as well. But if you did the wrong thing sometimes, then sometimes you get affected, and your children can get affected as well. So now, in certain things, in certain areas, it's just one chance that you get, no second chance. Like I said, namaz, one chance in the day. Fajr, Zuhar, whichever the namaz, just one chance in the day. Some obligations are such that you get a chance once in the week. Jummah, just once in the week. You get a second chance. So Allah is telling you, by me, what counts, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. I want to see who does it best. So He's given you just one chance in the day, right, or one chance in the week, so that you have got enough time to see that you're doing it well, you're doing it and doing it properly. You're not just following the motions, just going through it. No, I've got 1 week to prepare for the next Jummah. Let me do it, prepare myself, understand how to do it. Let me do it and let me do it very well. And then a lot of experiences will come accordingly. You're preparing from advance, in advance. Other than I'll just close my shop for 1 hour, my Jumma namaz will carry on. I have to prepare for this. Mentally, physically, in every way, because this is one chance in the week, when it's just one opportunity, one chance in the week, then what best can I do to see that I fulfill the criteria? Allah Mustafa Rahmatullah used to give one story. Says one person in Bombay had a business selling pins. So he used to import from China the pins, right? And that whole container came in, As he opened the container, it had no head. You know that pin has to have a head. You have no head now. Can you attach a value to it? There's absolutely no head now. What now? Anyway, he just waited not even half an hour, and one person came, says, I need pins without heads. Take the price, what you want, what price you want. One customer bought the whole consignment, whole thing. Price, what your choice, take it. But now, this person's habit was, he will only open, start of his business on a Friday after the namaz. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. One of the ways to get that barakah in the business, prepare for the Jummah long in advance, and after the Jummah start off. So, after the Jummah start off. A lot of the requirements of deen is based on the level of trust, confidence, and hope that you have in Allah Ta'ala. The trust in Allah Ta'ala, the hope you have in Allah Ta'ala, and the confidence that you have, He'll make it work. So you need to have hope in Him, you need to trust Him, and you need to have your firm confidence that He will make it happen. I don't need to rush the whole thing. It will come in His time, Allah Ta'ala decrees, but I need to do what He wants. He wants it in this way, that I prepare, and I prepare long in advance. Let me do it that way. So the level of confidence and the hope that you have in the promises of Allah Ta'ala, you don't just go through it without any hopes, without any confidence, without any trust. You don't do it. Just on the topic of Jummah, right? So again, it's about hope, preparing in advance, understanding it's the day of Jummah, and what I need to do. So the person that has got that concern, he'll prepare long in advance. He'll prepare from Thursday. But tomorrow is Jummah, and what am I supposed to be doing for the Jummah? Now from now I must get everything sorted out. That now just after Maghrib on a Thursday, it's already Friday. So what am I required to do? I must gain the maximum, because this Jummah comes just once in a week, and I can't be losing out. So Allah gave you an entire week to prepare yourself, arrange, try to work out your things. So when the Thursday comes, you're well arranged. You're well prepared. So the famous hadith that we hear quite regularly, right? So on a Friday you had a bath properly, cleaned yourself, the sweaty areas, right, properly. Then you made miswak as well, right? Then you put on clean clothing, nice cool clothing. Then you applied some ether, the best that you could apply. You know, sometimes to remind the people, but not that type of ether, which will cause a headache to people. Right? Many ethers are not ether, they're just synthetic. It's just giving you a smell, but they're synthetic. Now, it may be good to you, but it's not good to others. Those old-fashioned, maybe a little bit more pricey, but generally they don't have that effect. Right? But also we need to understand that initially, that bath on a Jummah was wajib, was compulsory, initially. So someone asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, what's the position, what's the status of the bath on a Friday? He says, yes, initially it was an obligation, but now understand what was the circumstance. He says, the masjid then, the roof wasn't very high, it was a thatch roof, right? Hardly any windows, right? So it was a small thing, thatch roof. Then it's a Jummah, and the masjid is packed to capacity, and then Arabian heat, right? You can imagine now, when there's such heat, right? And the clothing is what? The clothing is wool. Skin and wool, that's the clothing. So, their bodies will be perspiring, and together with the perspiration, the smell will be going around, right? So it brings about some level of inconvenience, so that on that occasion, it was told to them, not have a bath. So that means, what Allah Pak wants is we give off a good odor on that day. So now, the odor will be in two, three different ways. Sometimes it's body odor, so you would see that. And Ramadan time you have a smell coming out of the mouth, or someone is burping and something is coming out. I feel terrible, you know, something Ramadan. someone is not particular, someone is smoking and just then he comes to the masjid. Then there's the odor that's coming out, or he's ate something very hot and spicy, and you can see, you know, exactly what he ate came. So to be a little bit considerate, alright, I ate these things here, I'm going to burp, there's going to be a smell coming. And you know, you feel very nauseated, extremely nauseated. I know in Ramadan, other, you know, how you feel. Right? So you feel very nauseated. Right? Now you eat these type of things, brush your teeth well, do it well. So what Allah Pak wants, for you to become ibadin al-mukhlaseen, chosen servant, you are considerate towards people. That consideration Allah Pak loves. You can see my way, highway, or that doesn't work. So we learn all these phrases from English, you're going to try to apply it in Islam. So leave them to their culture. We got our own culture, we apply it. I was just explaining more today before namaz. You know, our old Muslims, and look at their way, we find values. So it was the late Babu Kaji from Stanger, right? So perhaps they had a shop somewhere in the farm. So someone was here. And they're explaining about the old man, right? He's Babu Kaji's father. So he's the old is now. I can imagine, I can relate to this type of thing because we did these things. So he's packing the shelves, and one person, one youngster, so he's seeing that the chacha is looking on the other end. He picked up a cake or something and he put it into his box and is moving out gracefully. He doesn't know that there's a mirror there, as old man is watching what's going on. So the old man sent someone, just bring that boy here. Came in. But now, there's something for us to learn in how the man conducted himself. Fed him very well. Nice, whether he wanted cold drink, whatever, food, whatever, nicely. Fed him until he's satisfied. When you're satisfied, thereafter, then you should see you through this cake away, see. If you need something, ask. Why must you spoil your name? Why must you spoil your reputation? So that this youngster now he's about 50, over 50, maybe 60 or something. He says, you know, you think that I ever stole after that? That was the day I did this. But now it's 50 years or something. After, do you think I ever stole? But there's a way, an approach. We need to correct the person, but how do we correct? We use our brains, all right? Bring about a change in the situation, but how do we go about doing it? So different approaches, different ways. Every situation doesn't require us to be aggressive and impolite. Make the person, don't break the person. What do we do to make the person? One friend of mine was telling me that he missed out the Asar Namaz. Maybe it was about 10, 11 years age. They're playing a tournament or something, and he missed out the Asar Namaz. Now, most families have it that supper, at least one meal, all the family sits together, and they have meal together. So now the father saw him, that he wasn't there for Namaz, he wasn't there for the Asar Namaz. So now, whilst they're having meal, he said, I didn't see you for the Namaz. He said, no, it was a tournament. Now for you now, the father is saying now, for you, I'll have to go and burn in Jahannam for you. So this youngster is telling me, he's confiding in me, you think from that day I ever missed my namaz. Now he's over 72, 73. That must have happened when he was about 10. But that father's message went into his heart so deeply, he says, you think I ever missed out a namaz after that? So it's a way how you're going to do it. It's an approach, it's a way you have to do it. Make the person, don't break the person. You start off with this with this odor, that smell. And we're just applying ourselves, applying our minds, we can get ideas. But the thing is that we don't have time for our children, for the youngsters, and how to bring them up. One youngster, one friend of mine tells me that he saw now he's getting his children for namaz, right? So now, some, وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَلَّ يُبَطِّيَنْ. We'll have that one child that is delaying. At the last, that 11th hour, he's to go to the toilet. Now he's about 9, 10 years of age, you can't hit him, right? But now he must now get up now, because he's going to be delaying the whole process. So the one day the father told him, hey, you better get up now. Second day, he's still delaying. Right. The second day, what he did, is he see now, the namaz with jamaat is 27 times multiplied. Now you're going to be delaying us, so we're going to be losing out. So now you already lost out. One day, you didn't do it with jamaat. So what you do now? So to cover up, you're going to do the namaz 27 times. Do it properly, tajweed correctly, do it nicely. So now he's doing the one namaz, and doing long surahs. Father asked him to do some long surahs. So you know some long surahs, Amma Yatasab and all that. So he came to the first one, second one, he's reading loudly, long surahs, third rakat, third namaz. By the fourth one, the mother felt sorry, said, give a break, dog. By the fifth one, now I can see he settled, he's crying a little bit, so he settled. He says, the next day, he was before us, wuzu, toilet, everything was, from then there was no trouble. But it's a little bit of us applying our minds, how to get the home right. Not just to push and be rough and wild. What do we need to get things right? How do we get it right? We need to make this child, not to break the child. One person was brought to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they complained that he's stealing the fruit. So now, we see it also happening in the street now. It's mango season, throw the stone, break the mangoes. And you know, we went through all these things ourselves, right? So when they complained about this youngster, small, was about 9, 10 years of age, why do you do this? He said, I feel hungry. So alright, the custom, the accepted norm that that time was, that which is fallen down, then you can pick it up, nobody will mind, right? Nobody will mind that fruit which is fallen down, then you can pick it up and have it, right? Nobody will. So what is fallen down, have that. And we should make dua for it. So after that, I never turn back. Sometimes when I go through the hadith, and we say, you know, it's a urf of the time. This was an understanding of the time, that what is fallen down from the tree, then you can take it. Like if someone got jackfruit then, it doesn't apply to that. Now where does it apply? So you have to open these people's minds to make them understand, alright, we did the hadith, and where's the application? For example, see, the application, my understanding, is the sugarcane truck. Right? It's going, and one stick is falling here, one stick is falling there, and someone picks it up and goes. The driver is not concerned, and my guess is that even the owner is not concerned. Nobody's going to stop the truck, pick that one, two sticks, load it up again, go another 200 meters, and all. Nobody's prepared for that. So, if that is picked up, then it's not considered as a crime, or it's not counted as a theft. So, one is what is generally accepted. But the idea is now, how to make things work. See, you're living in a community, someone has to be educated, corrected. How do you go about teaching the person? So there's a way. So, in this way, there are two classes of people. One is person that doesn't know at all. He's living in the sticks, he doesn't know about it. How do you correct that person? And the other is the person that knows, yet he is erring, right? So one is, he doesn't know at all, how do you work with him? Right. Muawiyah ibn Hikam radiyallahu anhu. Now he's living in the village, first time came to Madinah Munawwara. And few things he learnt about Islam. So the one thing that he learnt about Islam is, if you sneeze, must say Alhamdulillah. And the one that hears the Alhamdulillah, must say Alhamdulillah. Rather, all in namaz. And someone sneezed and said Alhamdulillah. And the little that I knew, I practiced it, I said, Ya Alhamdulillah. And now everybody is giving me a stiff look. He says, hey, I was very upset at this. why are you giving me this? Yunin Shuzur. Why are you giving me this, this tifluk? Like, he still doesn't understand. He's coming into Medina Munawwara for the first time. So then they began to hit the thighs as though you said kituni, they tried to keep me silent. He says, walakinni sakattu. I was angry about the whole thing, but I remained silent. I understood now what was going on. So I was upset about it, but I remained silent, right? Now all this thing happened after the namaz. Rasul Islam called for me, came up, said namaz, wazikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Quran Sharif, tilawat. That's the whole namaz all about. It's not for this. This is, wallahi, he didn't insult me, he didn't reproach me, he didn't ma darabani wala kaharani. He wasn't hard and harsh. He didn't hit me. This is ma ra'aytu mu'alliman arfaqa minhu la qablahu wala ba'du. I haven't seen a teacher so gentle, so good. So one is a person that doesn't know, and one is a person that knows and yet is making a mistake. Then there you can be a little bit firm on him. So he knows about it. Then why is he making a mistake? Why is he doing this? Mustafa says that it was his habit when we were there also, and all throughout his life it was his habit that he won't eat his meals alone. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, call on 1, 2, 3 poor students and he'll eat with them. So now, one person now is about 18, 19 years of age. But the first day, Mustafa told him, you drink with the right hand, you eat with the right hand, and you drink with the right hand. You won't say now that cup will get messed up, and therefore I need to drink with the left hand. No, don't think about that. More important than the cup is the sunnah. Why mess the sunnah? Mess the glass, it's all right, but why mess the sunnah? So about 2-3 days, Mustafa reminded him, you don't drink like that. Now he knows about it, but in that negligence and force of habit, he's still drinking. Okay, one shot. But now see, person knows about it, so you treat him differently. See, from that day, he never made a mistake. So he required that. That person required that attention to come on calls. And that person required a different type of an approach. One firm approach, one soft approach. And in this life of the Anbiya alayhi salam, we need to understand, alright, how do we approach the situation? We just allow the wrong to carry on, or we correct ourselves, right? Now it's a Qurbani season, right? And we're seeing all the wrong that's going on in the Qurbani season. Allah give us a tawfiq, right? Now, especially when there's a cow Qurbani of a bull or something, right? And everybody is seeing, alright? No problem seeing. But then, there's no consideration for parda. Men are coming, women, someone is snapping, look at the size, look at how they're controlling the animal, dropping it down. And the youngster that is trying to drop it down, he's trying to be more brave because women are seeing him, so he needs to impress them also, right? Now we're seeing all this wrong happening. Now do you think that Qurbani got a value, got a sawab by Allah Ta'ala? Everything is being lost. But now you're trying to impress someone else, a woman, they are mixing up with men. And nobody is considering the fact that the laws of the Sharia are being trampled. Now everybody in his capacity, how can I correct this thing? Women are mixing up with men. And then everybody will be using his own reasoning, right? So no, but in the Haram Sharia they're mixing up, so what? But the system of the Sharia is that first you go by the Quran, then by the Hadith, then by the consensus of the Ulama Ikiram, right? This is how you go. But that system doesn't go that this masjid is doing it in this way, therefore it is correct. No, that reasoning is incorrect. This is the reasoning. This is how you go. Quran, Hadith, and then consensus. This is how you go. But as you know, he's doing it like that, and that masjid is doing it, and that chacha is doing it. But that's not the sequence of the Sharia. Look what is the sequence of the Sharia, and apply it. Now you're doing a wrong, and then you're trying to justify the wrong. That makes it even worse. It's a wrong now. Acknowledge it's a wrong, and try your best now to correct. How am I going to correct? Right? So this mixing up, right? You know this, Anbiya alayhi salam, you see nearly all of them, they encourage life of decency and shame. And all of them discourage indecency, all of them. When you see their lives, right, their stories, there's one common line, decency and shame. Nobody speaks about indecency now, this indecent life, and let's just carry on. All are talking about Now when this type of things, this behavior, indecent behavior, is just coming more and more rife, nobody's worried about it, and how much more important it becomes, and then we are exposing ourselves to divine wrath, displeasure, and punishment. Something can happen. We hear of all these flus and all the whatever, sicknesses, accidents, etc. And sometimes the reason for this thing is we see a wrong, but we're not correcting it. If every person, within his capacity, how much he can correct, he must correct, talk about it, correct it, rectify it, bring about some change, correction. Women will be separate, men separate. They are not watching men doing it, right? If they're watching men doing it, then obviously that man is seeing now that auntie here, this girl here, and she's watching me, and I need to put up my best, you know, I need to do it very well. So it's going to be a whole mix-up kind of. Let them do it separately, you do it separately. However it's going to happen, or unless there's a mahram that's doing it, and other women are watching, it's a different thing. Or now, this strange woman, and this man is doing it like this, and they're all staring at him. On the occasion of the Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah is mounted, perhaps on Adaba, camel, and seated with him is his cousin, father, Ibn Abbas. One woman, Khasamiya woman, she comes to ask on Masala. So, this father is still young, and this girl is young. So normally the tendency is that when somebody is asking a question, everybody wants to look at the person that's asking. So Khasam is also now curious to know what she's asking. But she is pretty and he's also good looking. And they're looking at each other. Right? So Rasulullah gently turned the face of Fadl, turned it away. Second time he didn't understand, second time again Nabi turned the face away. So Abbas now is the father, Fadl ibn Abbas. So he said, you turned the face of your cousin, what happened? He says, Ra'itu Shabban. وَشَابَّةً فَلَمْ آمَنَ الشَّيْطَانَ عَلِيْهِمَا. I saw a young man, a young boy, and a young girl. And I know there's going to be some fitna now, right? So I had to turn the face. So you see, it's Anbiya alayhi salam, and the question of Amar bil Ma'roof and Nahi al Munkar. They at it, they're not stopping. It has to be done, yes, it has to be done. Cousin or no cousin. But it has to be done, it must be done. Umar radiallahu anhu is stabbed, is about passing away. One person's pants is flowing below the ankles. Right? And he's correcting him in that state, he's about passing away. But that doesn't stop him from Nahi and Munkar. See that he's passing on that last, he's the last throes of death. And he sees this youngster, and he's correcting that youngster. So anyway, this is a problem, and all of us, we're all responsible, seeing these things here, talk about it. Bring some understanding. Everybody remains silent, then it becomes an approval, because everybody sees it, the elders are seeing it, it becomes an approval. Someone is on a Juma, somebody is in a family, whichever platform we can talk about, we talk about it. This then, we're seeing this pedal thing is carrying on. Here, Johannesburg, everywhere is carrying on. So, if we remain absolutely silent, that we are also an accomplished person. Because we're seeing the wrong happening, and we remain absolutely silent, don't talk about it, don't bring it to the attention. That whole town was capsized, though there were some pious people who didn't commit a sin for a moment. But why? They saw the wrong, but they were absolutely silent. So 50,000 people were destroyed, but with these pious people. But why? They remained silent. So this further thing also, it starts off now, that we need to be fit, body fitness. Then they go doing singles, from singles to duels, and then after that, one is in bed or the other. And I was saying, you know, but we need for fitness, our niyat is right. That just the niyat is not enough. We think that niyat is enough, it's not enough. The niyat with the conformity with the sunnah, right? That's even more important, right? Someone said, my niyat is very, very good. I don't have any flaw in the niyat. My niyat is absolutely good. I don't have any flaw in my niyat. My niyat is right. So now, he says, you know, Jummah namaz, Friday is a very, very busy day. Very busy day. So we'll push the Jummah namaz to a Sunday. I read so much more namaz because I'm free at that time. So my niyat, is there any flaw in the niyat? Yes, no. But will that be acceptable? Or will he be under divine wrath and punishment? So just the niyat is not sufficient. The niyat with the conformity. Someone thinks, alright, you know what? The Kaaba Sharif is getting all crowded, overcrowded. Overcrowded, you know. Now you're hearing about 4 million, 5 million people coming to the Kaaba Sharif. So every area has its own Kaaba Sharif. Durban has its own Kaaba Sharif, Ladysmith, Marisburg. No crowd. Here you're going with all that crowd. You'll be lucky that you make 5 tawafs in the whole day. Right? Here you can make 1,000 tawafs every day. So let's make one Kaaba everywhere. So the niyat was it wrong. But there was no conformity to the sunnah. Say Allah, I don't want that. Conformity with the style of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just do it accordingly. And someone has to teach it. Someone has to correct it. Someone has to manage it at any time. You can't only say, no, let's talk about the positives, leave the negative. That style is not a Islamic style. It's not even standing to logic and reason. So see, the traffic police, his duty was to control, right? In the controlling, what he needs to do? To stop and to move. This lane is to move them and to stop them. So I said, no, I learned from the bayan, it's only be positive. So let's move the traffic only, move. Kya hoga? It can't work. This positive, this business thing can't. So no, just only be positive. So I'll only talk about the money I'm receiving. What is due to me, leave it out. That's all negative now. You're going to sit on the customer's case now. You know, you're owing me 2 million. Talk about it, you know, it'll be a fight. And all. So let's don't be positive. Let's don't go into controversial things. So the world can operate. Now you go to a judge. The judge says, hey, you know, people are all fighting all the time, fighting. Just go out of my sight. All controversies you're bringing to me. World can operate. So you have to move and you have to stop. Move someone and stop someone, the world will run. And we'll all be saved from divine punishment. But now we're not worried about that. Natija kya hoga? What's going to be the consequence? We're talking about Yusuf alayhi salam. We just branched off a little bit, right? Now comes to the end now, when the king knows about Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, just send him to me. So he says, no. فَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكْ فَاسْأَلْهُ مَا بَالُ نِسْوَةِ اللَّاتِي قَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. Go and find out about the woman that cut off the hands. Go back. So now, why did Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, we're talking about the salient points in the story. So why Yusuf alayhi salam had to do this? Go and make a total inquiry about the woman that cut off the hands. It was not for his dignity, it was not for his reputation or all for that. Because he understands that the king is holding him in esteem, right? So when the king is calling him, then he wants to give him some type of a position. But now, when his name is not cleared up completely, if he's going to be occupying a position, will the king look at him with a clear eye? Or he'll have some reservation? He asked me, I know this man, what he did? So can he now confer to him a status and a position of trust? I can't trust the man. Now we kept him in the Aziz's place and he tried to mess out with the woman. Now I want to keep him with the finances of the state. What he may do there? So will he have reservations or not? He'll have reservations. He won't be so clear. So that whilst I'm languishing in prison, go and make a proper inquiry about me. So I got no defense. I'm defenseless. I'm in the prison. And you got everything to make every type of inquiry. Go make the inquiry. Now, the inquiry is made, now they come in, Yusuf alayhi salam comes in, and he's offered the position, khaza'in al-ard. He's managing the finances of all the treasures of the country, right? Now, can he say things as they were? He's got no reservation, he can say it as it wants. Does he have any reservation? He can say it with absolute confidence and strength and might, because they made a commission of inquiry about my reputation, my status, they know that I'm free of any blemish. I can tell them this is wrong. I can tell them this is right. Right. See, before occupying that position, his name is absolutely cleared. Right. Now, if he's going in, occupying that position, before the whole process, then people don't trust him. This person here, now today he's managing the finance. Yesterday, Yarkateki, this is what he did yesterday. So will they have that level of confidence? Will they have that level of clarity? So in managing that position, you need to see that your name is absolutely clear, free of any tab, any stain of blemish and dishonesty. See? Now that is for the interest of the whole country, whole state, that nobody will look at him with a negative eye. His reputation is clear, he's an honest person, and no person will try to take a try. Because they know he's so honest, you're not going to take a chance.